We are pretty much right in the middle of Ephesians. This is, in my Bible, literally 1, 2, 3 pages of the entire Bible is what we're spending 8 weeks on. 3 pages right here. It's a tough one to find, okay? It's kind of a tough one to find. Ephesians, written by a guy named Paul, and we're going to be spending some time in Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, okay? And I want to read this to us, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the message, okay? Here's what it says. For this reason, what was it? Well, you should have been here last week, okay? So if you're here last week, then that would make so much sense, and your mind would be blown right now. No, I'm just kidding. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and that's about God's love. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's say a prayer, and we're going to dive in. Heavenly Father, we do bow our, maybe not our knees right now because we're sitting on our chairs, but we definitely bow our hearts before you. And, Jesus, as this word starts to kind of unfold, we're going to recognize how important this moment right now really is. That without your help right now, this message, these words that come out of Seth's mouth and stuff, it's not going to be much there. But Father, when you attach your work to this, when you attach, Father, what you do through your word, man, it can shape and change lives like nobody's business. And I pray, Father, that you would do that this morning. Open up our hearts to receiving this word now. God, I pray for myself that you'd help me as I kind of put a little message together. Okay, got it together. But God, I pray now that your word would work in such a powerful way. And help me to simply share your word, not a word more, not a word less. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. All right. Well, let me get my timer going because you know me. Boom. Boom. Imagine love. Imagine love. Love could look like. Imagine like a husband and a wife, like a newlywed couple. Like they're so in love, aren't they? Oh, this is such a great day. Love. Like think of like a little kid being born. Love, like, oh man, just this little beautiful little baby. So precious. Love. I think of like Barbara, Bush or something. Barbara, they're always talking about their love. Weren't they married for like 70 years or something? 70, wow, love. Love, right? Just this amazing picture of love. Like what is love? What is love?
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
Wow.
Don't hurt me no more.
What is? Are you kidding me, Kelton? You found it that fast? Wow! Wow, I'm impressed, brother. I mean, wow, dude. That is impressive. What? What is love? Wow. Nice word, dude. What is love? Like, love, when we think of love, we think of, like, cutesy, don't we? We almost think of like a little puppy or something. We're a cute little puppy, so cute. I just love, right? Well, what is love. And I was thinking about this word from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, and it says this. This is kind of where this feels like to me it's going. And now to him, and to know all the stuff previous, we're going to talk a little bit about it, but and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. What does that even mean? Right? What is love? Like, is it the cutesy, pretty, everything's perfect? Like, what is love? This is kind of what I want to kind of dig into just a little bit today. Because isn't it amazing that Paul can actually say this? What is love? And then he says, this love is so amazing, but you can't fully get it. You're not going to fully get it. So part of me is kind of like, maybe we should just stop and all head to Taco Bell or something, right? I mean, if I'm not going to be able to fully get it to you, like, it is so huge. The love of Christ, what is this? It's unimaginable. We can't even fully grasp it. So this morning, I'm going to try to paint a picture. And I'm not going to use a puppy. I'm not going to use a newlywed. I'm not going to use a little baby. I'm going to try to paint a picture of this kind of love-ish. And I'm going to do the best I can. This is as close as I can kind of get an analogy or a story to kind of God's love. So just imagine with me, there's these like kids over in Russia, okay? And I actually have a picture of a Russian prison. And this is real. I know of the person who was there when this picture was taken. This is a prison in Russia, and they walked past, and there's these two kids there, and they're in prison. We don't know exactly why. We don't know what their punishment is going to be, but probably not good. Okay? And these are real people. This is a real picture that I was able to get from somebody I know. And these kids, just imagine these kids. But you don't even have to really imagine that, because that's why I kind of give you the picture, right? Imagine these kids in Russia. And then imagine, like, Jacqueline and I wanting to adopt one of these kids, okay? Just imagine it. Like, we already got four kids, so Jackie's probably like, whoa, easy now. Imagine wanting to adopt one of these kids, and we somehow fall in love with maybe that kid off on the left or something, or the right, or whatever, and we fall in love with one of these kids, and we're just like, we love that kid, and we want to bring that kid into our family. And so we fill out the paperwork, and we send the paperwork over to Russia, some agency over there, and they're like, okay, we'll send you the kid in prison. We'll send you the kid. But here's the deal. In order for you to send that kid to you, you need to send us one of your kids, okay? And when you send one of your kids, your child is going to receive the punishment that this kid is supposed to receive. Okay? So, Corey, I didn't even tell you about this, dude. Sorry. But just think about this. Now, we're trying to teach people about Jesus, okay? So just kind of think with me here. So just imagine if we sent Corey over to Russia. And Cor was maybe going to even die, suffer, and maybe even die, right? And imagine with me when this kid from Russia gets off the plane. So he gets to, he gets to the airport, he gets off the plane, he steps off, and he walks out. And Jacqueline and I go over, and we give this kid a big hug. And we tell him, man, we love you so much. We love you so much. And we bring him home, and we put this kid from Russia, some Russian prison, we put him into Cor's room. And we say, everything that's ours is yours. Can you imagine that? I can't. You following me? I can't imagine that. Like, I can't. Like, I can imagine, I guess. Okay, hold on, some of you guys are like semantics. I guess I can imagine it, but like, I would never do that. Would you? Would you do that? Like, can you imagine doing that? I don't think I could. I love my kids so much. Almost can't even imagine it. Now, of course, this analogy kind of breaks down, okay? It doesn't like correlate and equate exactly to the gospel. I'm not trying to do that necessarily. I'm trying to just show how different the love of God is a little bit. Just trying to get kind of ish, maybe a little further than you've ever thought about it before. Because sometimes we use the cute, oh, God's love's like a little puppy, oh, yeah, oh, and we're like, that makes kind of sense, of course. But in this text, it says, like, listen to it. It's, and you don't have to go there. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That surpasses knowledge. You know, the Bible paints a picture of us before Christ. In like the book of Romans. Romans says that we were enemies of God. Ephesians, we've already talked about it, says that we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. Colossians says that we were in the kingdom of darkness. We were held captive. And what does Jesus do? What does God do? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son.
Gave us all of our forgiveness.
Yeah. What is this kind of love? That all of a sudden God would actually send his Son into the world. To take our punishment, to have the kind of great exchange take place, for us to kind of, like, be brought into the bedroom of having everything and him taking our place in the Russian prison. Yeah, of course, that's where I'm kind of going. What is that? Jesus coming to die on a cross. God in the flesh dying on a cross. Suffering our suffering, dying our death, taking upon himself our brokenness, our sin. What is that? See, what is this kind of love that's like almost unknowable? The Creator suffering for creation. The master coming to serve the servant. The perfect becoming sin. The eternal God who dies for mortal man. See, what is this kind of love? The Russia example is like, I can't even get my mind around that. Nobody would do that. We wouldn't do that. See? I can't get my mind around it. It's like almost like it's unknowable. But you stop and you think about God. Think it through. Like just mathematically, God dies for you. See, you could almost press into it as like, yeah, you kind of shouldn't have done that, God. You see what I'm saying? You could almost kind of lean into it like, that doesn't make, why would you do that? Why would you make that move? That, I was thinking through this. I think you could even press a little further. You could even maybe say something like, or feel like you could say, you can't do that. Now, that's actually fascinating to me. We don't have time to explore too much. You could almost say, you can't do that. Our minds aren't like God's. You might have a little different perspective. There's all sorts of things we could kind of think about with this thought, right? But God's love is so much bigger. It's not cutesy. It's not just nice and pretty. It's not nice and just clean. It's Jesus. It's God coming for you. This is how much he loves you in spite of what you've done. In spite of the fact that you might have been in an enemy kind of relationship with God because of your sin, your brokenness. This is why every night just about, when I'm talking to my kids, I say, hey, Ariana, Core, Trax, Ember, Jesus, Daddy loves you so much. But Jesus loves you more. And I don't even fully know what that even fully means. I mean, I know what it means partly, but it's this surpasses knowledge. But Jesus loves you more. Now, here's the deal. I love my kids like crazy. I would die for my kids. I would do anything for my kids to be protect them, watch over them, you know, keep them safe, give them the best I can. I would do anything for my kids, just like you would too. And God loves them more? Yes. He loves me in this deep way? Yes. He loves us. This is why. You got to follow me here on this if you got your Bibles open. This is why essentially Paul is stopping here in his writing, which Paul's a brilliant writer. But Paul is literally stopping here. And actually, he tries to stop in chapter 3, verse 1. We don't have it up on the screen, but listen. Paul says this in chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. Now, he's actually starting to move into trying to pray. And then the next verses here, he's like, oh, and I got one more thing I got to quick say. And so he quick says that. And then chapter 3, verse 14, he comes back to this. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Paul is brilliant at writing stuff. He's writing theological thoughts like left and right. And it's like, wow, amazing stuff from Paul, right? These amazing thoughts and wow, these things from God. But he gets to a point where he's just like, I got to just pray. I just got to pray now. I just got to stop. I'm not going to keep writing. When I recognize that these verses here are actually a prayer, it changed the way I read this particular part of the scripture. I was like, wait a second, this is Paul. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, and he gets into it more and more, that he may grant you power to be strengthened, right? He's praying for power. He's praying for God to give you strength. He's praying for help them. They need help. They need help with this. And why? What is it leading towards? You know, sometimes when we think about this, we think of like, give me strength, give me power, so that what? Whenever you've prayed that prayer, what has it been for? To go on? Yep. You know, there's lots of reasons you might pray that prayer. Lord, give me the strength. Oftentimes, it's to do that. Oftentimes, it's to help me move forward, to do something, right? Which that's not necessarily a bad prayer. But what does Paul say here? He's saying, please give them strength. Help them so that they might what? Just be the most amazing social workers in Ephesus. So that they might just take this. What does he say? Listen, give them strength in his inner spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Oh man, this is building up to something huge. This is going to be awesome. So that you might be rooted and grounded in love, and you may have the strength to comprehend how wide and deep and long and high and depth is the love of, and it just keeps building up. And then the end is what? It's like, so that you may know the love of Christ that you can't even fully know. When's the last time you stopped and you just thought about how much God loves you? And you gave serious thought to how radical God's love really is. When's the last time you just stopped and thought about how not cutesy, not pretty, When's the last time you just sat and thought about that? Like, God loves you. So that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy smoking. God wants to just bless. He wants to bring you, and he wants to look at you as his child. He wants to say, everything that's mine is yours. I want to fill you beyond what you can even fully understand, what you can even imagine. And I think Galatians, the book of the Bible right before Ephesians, I think it gets at it a little bit. This was helpful for me. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. As you're thinking about how much God loves you, it brings you to a place, because if you start to kind of be like, oh, how much does he love me? How much? It brings you to a place where it's like this. But now that you have come to know God, or are rather known by God, you see that? Fully kind of like recognizing how much God loves you is recognizing he knows you. He loves you. He cares about you and your lives. He cares about Paul and the life that he lived, is living. Sorry, Paul, that made it sound like you're about to go soon. He cares about you and what's going on in life. He loves you so much, and he roots it not in just this flaky stuff. He roots it in reality. He roots it in history itself. He actually came. He actually died for you. He actually did this U.S. to Russia. He did that and more, right? He did that suffering or hell. You shouldn't have done that, God, but he did it. It happened. It's for you. He's already done it. You see that? And then watch this. Watch this. See, Paul realizes he's got to just start praying. I thought about even doing that in this message, like just stopping and I'm just going to start praying. But I want you to understand, I'm not going to do that because that'd just get maybe weird. What I want you to understand is I've been praying for you all week long. I've been praying for you guys. I'm always praying for you. I'm always, God, you got to break in. The prayer at the beginning of the message, God, you got to do the work that only you can do here. We're going to do our part. We're going to kind of do our part here. But you got to do that work in us, God. Keep working, please. And then it leads us to this. The past, like what God has already done. The extreme, radical love that he's shown that you might even disagree with. Listen, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Look at this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Listen, God has a future in mind for you that's bigger than you can even imagine. God has a future in mind for you that's greater than you could even piece together. His plan is so much better than your plan. This is why following Jesus is so important. Because he actually wants what's best for you. You can see the immediate. You can see the moment. You can see the bad heart problem you have. You can see the cancer. You can see the mistake. You can see the pain. You can see the death. You can see this and this and this and this and this. God sees different. It's now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can even ask or imagine. Man, let that shape your prayer life. For those of you who are doing, let that shape your prayer life beyond what you can even imagine. I remember my dad once telling me, hey, you should write down like what you think life is going to look like in 20 years. Write that down, he said. And so I did that once. I wrote down, I can't remember what it was, like 10 years or 20 years out or whatever. I wrote that down. And then he says, when that time comes, just go ahead, go back and look at what you put down. Go back and look at what you put down. And he says, I can almost guarantee you, you will smile at least because of how far off you will have been. Right? Isn't that true for our lives? God's got something in store for us that's so much bigger. And it makes sense because of how much he loves us, how much he cares about us. Sometimes I ask Ariana, I asked her the other day, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know what she said? She said, Dad, I want to be a puppy. I want to be a puppy, Dad. Yeah, I want to be a puppy. And I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, Ariana, if you let me do a little more directing in your life, I'd love to put you on a path that's towards a little something better than being a puppy. I think we can do better, honey. Isn't that sometimes true, though? If God were to ask us, hey, what do you want to do? How do you want life to look? I want to be a puppy. Well, you kind of don't have God's perspective. Get behind Jesus. Keep following him. Spend some time thinking about how much he loves you, how much he cares about you, how radical this love really is. Let that shape you and change you in ways that we maybe can't fully even imagine. But that when we follow him, it's just going to kind of play out in ways that are beyond what we can even think about, beyond even our knowledge. May that be yours this morning. May that be yours this next week as you live that out. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, man, we're just, to me, God, this is a hard message to preach because it's a message that's oddly one where we can't even imagine it. God, I think, almost, I feel like when we're with you in heaven someday, like, and we look up at your nail-pierced hands and your nail-pierced feet, and we're standing in the glory of God, and we have this kind of double-sided mind where we're standing in your presence in all of your glory, but at the same time, we can see like we're reminded that you died for us. God died for us, for me. I think for all of eternity, we are going to just be in awe of that. And I'm not even sure we're going to ever fully be able to grasp it. God, you want to fill us up. You want to fill us up so much. You want to give us everything we need this morning. And God, there are so many people in this room with so many different needs. Father, give us the strength. Give the people in this room the strength they need to be constantly reminded of how much you love them. Please, oh God, please give us that strength. Give us an increase of faith. Give us an increase of your spirit. Give us what we need. Please, Father, do that work in us. And God, where we're resistant, I pray you just break through that. Take us on that journey, that amazing journey of our future. Help us to just trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, may he be with you this next week. And may you know and experience His love in all that you do. Spend some time. May you be given the strength to spend some time thinking about how much He loves you. He does love you, and He always will. In Jesus' name, amen.